Cherie Fortland. It's March 23rd, 2016. We're here at the Superdome. Tell us what's going on.
So we're here with a few hundred people. We marched here from Duncan Plaza, marched right into the BOEM sale, where they're trying to sell off millions and millions of our acres of our Gulf of Mexico. Actually, it's an area the size of Louisiana and half of Mississippi all put together. Mm-hmm. If drilled, it would be the eighth largest carbon source of pollution in the world. And we went in there and told them no. Basically, that's all we said. No, it's time for a just transition into green energy. We have 27,000 aging and abandoned wells in the Gulf of Mexico. It's time to put our oil workers back to work, cleaning up the mess that by law these oil companies need to clean up. And we're talking jobs here is what we're talking. We're talking green energy jobs. There's over 7 million people already working around the world in the renewables energy sector. There's no reason why Louisiana can continue to power this nation, but we need to do it in a way that works with the systems of Mother Earth and protects our future generations so we have something to give. Where I live in the next few generations, according to scientists, will be underwater. I'm paying mortgage, I'm paying for a property that I will never be able to give to my children and grandchildren. And that, what else does a mother want but to be able to pass something down? And they're denying us that. They're denying us life, liberty, and property. And that's something that's in the Constitution. In the Constitution, that's my right, right? And so
you brought these concerns to Boehm here at the Superdome today. What was it like on the floor in the room when they were doing the announcements to sale?
It was amazing because they were being drowned out by people power. People were saying this is our lands and we're going to protect it in the future. I feel like this is just the beginning. I think we're going to get bigger, stronger. And I told the BOEM guys, I told them straight up. I said, I need you to go back. I need you to tell your higher up. I need you to tell the President of the United States that we are going to hold him accountable to what he said after Paris. And we are going to keep 80% of all fossil fuels in the ground because that's what we need to have a viable planet. That's what we're going to do. And the one guy said that he would go back and tell the President that. The other guy said, I don't understand why you're not getting off the stage. I said, I don't understand why you're not getting out of our ocean. Like, I don't understand why it's okay for you to sell our legacy, my children's legacy. And he just turned around and walked off. He said, I'm done here. And he's right. He's done here. Pack it up. Go home. We're going to start from the community, from the ground up. We're going to start talking about just transition. We're going to start talking about solar panels and windmills or whatever it takes. We don't even know what that is, but we're going to start doing that from the ground up and benefit the people of the Gulf of Mexico. No more letting these big companies, these big executives that are getting million-dollar bonuses while our people are on food stamps, while our people are on Medicaid, and letting them continue to come in and take our legacy and take off with it. No, it's ours. We're going to figure out a way that we can support ourselves and still have what we need for our future.
Thanks. Yeah, you mentioned big companies. We're here standing in the shadow of the Freeport MacMoran building. Yeah. Were there any oil industry reps? Did they have any reaction to the
protest? They really didn't. They let the BOEM take care of it and the police department. I didn't talk to any of them, you know.
I see.
And
they're not used to seeing anything like this.
They're not used to this, and I did see their faces, and it was kind of a mix of fear and surprise, and I was kind of glad to see that. But they should be fearful and surprised because they need to come correct. Like, it's time for them to start thinking about their future too. And honestly, when it comes down to it, we're protecting their kids as well, at least the ones that live here. You know, they can't deny that. They can't deny the fact that we love them, and we love, just like in the same way that, you know, Dr. King said that we had to save all the people in the civil rights issues, and then it's time for us to save all, whether they're on board or not. It's all for them. It's all for their future and their legacy, and they'll figure that out or they won't, but this is just the way it's going to be.
Cherie Fortland, thanks so much for speaking with me today. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
I'd like to ask, this is another chance for you guys to sing with us to support this beautiful poem. And it's very simple. The words are sinking, waves in, waves out. It goes like this, and we're going to become a mantra that's going to support Monique's beautiful voice and poem. Sinking, sinking. Waves in, waves out, sinking, sinking, waves in, waves out, sinking, sinking, waves in, waves out, sinking, sinking, waves in, waves out.
Well, I had this one the other night. I was visiting some family in the country. I don't know where this might be. It seemed like it was both today and 100 years ago. And everyone gathered in the gazebo, raised a fuss, clapped hands, cried, "Finally, come home." And they laid a spread for us. Barbecue and crawfish spiced thick the air. And we had all a tongue or eye could demand. They was dressed fair in hats and bracelets, drinking beer. The women with glossy waves of hair got twirled in time to accordion band and cigar box fiddle. And we laughed and danced and whittled the day, till after a little it grew all dark. And the birds stopped their song. And even the children grew somber for the turn of season. We left the park in quiet procession, down to the water's edge. Strength, and I noticed her dusty dress, the older fabric, and I realized she was of the dead, and these were the honored guests of the day. And when we reached the water's play, the children undressed, slipped silent eels into deeps of green, and strange came the light from the water. The elder said, "Granddaughter, tradition bids us here. Each year, where the children swim out over the bones of our houses, left long ago where stood our land, our gardens bloomed where this water flows. But this year, the children swim out over homes of their own, and I no longer trusted the water, but I too entered in, because it was more important to be together, to be family, than to have somewhere to live." Give it up for Hilton.
All right, everybody doing out there? All right. You know, I just want to give you guys some words of encouragement. We all know what this fight is about. I know I'm speaking to the choir here today. But I got into this battle because I came from a town called Port Arthur, Texas, that's surrounded by refineries and chemical plants. I was born in a government housing project called Carpenteries. And the Carpenteries housing project is at the end of the west end of Port Arthur, up against the Motiva Oil Refinery. And next to us, we also have Valero. We also have the Chevron chemical plant. And we also have the incineration facility called Veolia, where they burn toxic waste. Not only do they burn toxic waste from the refineries and chemical plants there in the Port Arthur, Jefferson County area, but they also bid to bring in chemical weapon waste. As a matter of fact, back in 2007, they brought in VX nerve gas hydrolysate water to burn in the city of Port Arthur, all the way from Indiana. Then they petitioned to bring in PCBs from Mexico to burn in the city of Port Arthur. Port Arthur is considered a dumping ground for toxic waste. We are considered a sacrifice zone. But when I look around my community and I see teachers that I love, I see my aunts and uncles. I see my grandkids now. I see my kids, my wife. And when I walk outside and I smell the foul, stinky air, I think about my own life. We are not expendable. We are not a sacrifice community. I never really saw myself as an activist, quote unquote. But when I got involved in this work, because I've seen so many people dying from cancer, I knew it had to be something wrong with the water or the air. And for years, I had heard the elders speaking about the sulfur that was being dumped. But the question was, oh, well, what can we do about it? Those people are not going to let us change anything. Those people are going to do what they want to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Those people can be stopped. And the way we can stop it is by continuing what we're doing now, coming together, allowing our voices to be heard, standing up and speaking truth to power. I met the President of the United States in 2011 after winning the Goldman Environmental Prize. Yes, that prize is very nice, very prestigious, but what it did for me was most important was provided a platform to get the word out about communities that was just being dumped on. Not only Port Arthur's being dumped on, but we know about Norco, Louisiana as well. We know about Norco, we work with Norco folks. We also know about what's happening in Oakland, California. All those places have refineries as well. We know what's happening here. I've worked with Ann Roberts, the Bucket Brigade. All over this country, we are uniting and coming together. And I think that we have to educate more people on the fact that they should be activists too. Because if you breathe air, if you drink water, you should be fighting to protect your rights to them. I'm going to leave you guys with a little poem. Some of you may have heard it last night, but it's called My Toxic Reality. And I wrote this one night because I was so upset when they had an explosion at the Motiva plant, and you could smell the stench, and your house just has this shake to it because of the very flare that you can see only about two or three blocks away is shaking your whole house. Your kids can't sleep because their noses are running. It's a mess. It's called My Toxic Reality. I see your smoke rising in the air. 2, 3 in the morning when you think no one is there. In the still of the night, my child starts to sneeze. In the still of the night, the other starts to wheeze. Your bright, bright torch, it burns all night. To find my way through the house, I don't even need a light. The roar of your flame, I've learned to ignore. Even though it's combustion, vibrate my feet upon the floor. I know I live at the back end of town and I should just be quiet, not make a sound. You might even find this a little profound. Me and my neighbors are a light and dark shade of brown. I hope our leaders don't conspire to circumvent, because these findings I have a sulfur benzene scent. Excuse me while I cough. My throat has a slight tickle. The air I breathe is sometimes very fickle. If you went to take a bath and saw a rash upon your chest, would you just shrug your shoulders and wish yourself the best? This money they give is great, and this is only flesh. But if you had the right insurance, you could go and take a test. Oh, I'm scared I'll lose my job if the pollution I contest. But if you died tonight, would your killers confess to the poison they put inside you that laid you down to rest? Would your family have to fight to pay your doctor bills as you lay 6 foot under upon the grassy hill? Now your job is gone, and your company grievings has faded. Your spouse and kids tried to collect from them, but they said your death was not job-related. My toxic reality. Keep the fight going, y'all. Yeah! Keep it going.
Gracias.
No se puede comprar el sol. No se puede comprar el mar. No se puede comprar la tierra. You cannot buy the sun. You cannot buy the seas. You cannot buy the earth.
Not for sale.
No se puede comprar el sol. No se puede comprar el mar. No se puede comprar la tierra. Los hijos del capitalismo nos están llevando a la ruina. The captains of capitalism are bringing us to our ruin. This is going to be a bilingual piece. Así que, al fin en los oídos, despierten la subconsciencia y ajusten sus cinturones. filosóficos. Yeah. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, amigos, porque se habla español aquí. Do not be afraid of the Spanish language, because tostitos are here to stay. In fact, we are new and improved, fat-free, and good for the economy. So if you are bilingually challenged, sharpen your ears, awake your subconscious, and adjust your philosophical seatbelt. Because it's still early in the new millennium of the 21st century. Así que America, as in South and Central America as well. Because I'm from Ecuador and I'm part Quechua native. Así que America, the entire hemispheric Americas, but here in the United States of Amnesia. A country that loves to seduce its people to embrace forgetting, so it makes them accomplices to the atrocities committed in the name of freedom for your purchase power. Ay, ay, ay. Así que, America, wake up and smell the café con leche, carnales. Here we go. That was just an opening. Cuando veo estas caras oscuras quemadas por el sol, morenas como la tierra golpeada, aguantando gritos entre un siglo al otro, casi acabadas como almas viejas antes de cruzar, con una historia cruel, llena de conquistas y abuso, como una gente en el cuerpo herido de una ciudad huérfana antes de Dios. Yo me pregunto si fui un diablo blanco colonial en una vida anterior y como si pude vivir en la sombra de una mentira. When I see these dark faces burnt by the sun, purple, black, like the beaten earth, enduring screams from one century to another, almost finished like old souls before crossing over, with a cruel history of conquest and abuse, like a people in the wounded body of an orphan child abandoned before God by a criminal governance. I ask myself if I haven't been a colonial devil in a previous life, and how was it that I managed to live in the shadow of such lies? Verde, como me siento verde, extraterrestre verde, sin mi tarjeta verde que me marca como verde ilegal. Verde sospechoso, verde odioso, verde del broccoli verde que lo recogemos con nuestras manos pa' tu cena. Verde del aguacate dulce y sabroso que lo comes sin mucha pena. Verde de jalapeños verdes, picante como la revolución que viene verde, carnales. Green, I feel a little green, I feel a little extraterrestrial green. Green, I feel a little green, I feel a little illegal alien green, undocumented green. Distrustful snake green, odious Adela, jealous dustbin green. Broccoli of the many meals we pick for you green. Guacamole, you can't live without green. Jalapeño revolution, here we come green. Green of your painful greenbacks that we earn with our green veins flush because of our resilient cactus green spirit that will boycott the Arizona Venom Green inside a law that leaks the pus green of infected minds and polluted battery acid green souls. But I know not all you gringos hate like that. Let that green greed that exploits immigrant labor and our green alien vulnerability, as endangered as the swamp green of Louisiana, threatened by British Petroleum logo green, black oil spill, transform the green blue waters of the Gulf into a Greenpeace emergency with the putrid lies that the oil has disappeared into the green ecosphere, just like that. Ay caramba! Green of those putrid lies. Green of those putrid lies. And you should know that right here in this Superdome, This Superdome, this monstrosity of a building, was reconstructed by immigrant laborers, Brazilians, and some immigrants fell to their death from that Superdome. And the English-speaking gringo media would not even touch that story. It was only in the Latin America, Spanish-speaking media of the United States. Immigrants died to reconstruct this city. Immigrants died dropping off the storm. Immigrants died, they died all across. They were deported if they fought for their own rights. And tomorrow, the Congreso, the Congress of Day Laborers, and the Honduran people will be having a demonstration right here on Canal Street for Berta Caceres, who was just assassinated and killed and murdered by a criminal governance of Honduras that the United States of Indonesia has been supporting for 2.5 centuries. The United Fruit Company would send dictators, the captains of capitalism, to take over Honduras, transform into a banana republic, into a slave state. The reason why we have so many Honduran people here is because they've been doing business with Honduran, the captains of capitalism, forever. And you know the Honduran people haven't benefited. Tomorrow at 11 a.m., for those of you who still remain, I have it here on my phone, and I'm going to do the last poem. Hold on. Brian just texted it back to me. This is a moment.